Sports on a Saturday morning on WRMJ, WRMJ.com, and streaming worldwide on the WRMJ app. In studio with us now is Tanner Matlick. The Golden Eagles, they make the trip last night down to Cuba, Illinois. Let's all say it together. Lewistown Valley in Cuba, home of the Miners. Eagles take care of business, win it 47-0. A recap. Tanner Matlick, what'd you think last night?
Yeah, I thought it was good. We kind of knew what to expect rolling into the game, and I told the kids that even though this team was 0-2 going in there, we still had to, you know, try to dominate the game from the first snap, prepare like it was a playoff game, prepare like it was a big game for us, and it was. I mean, moving to 2-1 on the season, big win for us on the road, building a little confidence in our running game, and yeah, I thought all the kids did a really good job on both sides of the ball and special teams.
Yeah, and it's no disrespect to the opponent you're playing, but I know you know probably early in the game, hey, we should take care of business in this game. So that means how do we assess things moving forward, and what are the key takeaways from a game like this? Now, Rockridge had a similar situation last night where they scored on every offensive possession. And I think I said to Coach Graves, you know, so I would assume then kind of takeaways is you get your PAT unit out there and you get to see, hey, we need to score sevens in the postseasons or eights in the postseasons instead of sixes. And then you get your kickoff coverage team out there to cover kicks because that's probably going to be an issue where it's like a live practice. I mean, is it things like that you look at in those type of games?
Yeah, it was you hit the nail on the head, Jim. Special teams is always important, especially when you get deep in the season. So last night, there was a few instances where we could have worked on going for two, but the way we've kicked PATs early in the season, I wanted to make sure we kept trotting that team out there and getting them a little bit more live in-game reps. I think that team did a pretty good job for us. We missed a couple early, and then I think we made every PAT after that, so hats off to that group. And then kickoff coverage team was good all night. I think on the offensive side of the ball, we didn't get to some of the stuff that we wanted to work on this week. My plan going in was to throw the ball a little bit early. Unfortunately, Tannen Whitehall ran the ball like a maniac, so it seemed like every touch he had, he was ripping, you know, 20, 30-yard runs at a time. So it was good to get him going, build some confidence in that kid as a sophomore, and then looking forward to this matchup with Farmington in week four.
Yeah, and looking ahead to the game with Farmington, I think, you know, Farmington, one of the teams, when you look at the side of the conference you are coming in, that, you know, probably one of the teams that people circle and say, okay, they'll probably finish in the top, you know, two or three. So a big game for you right away. Second, I guess, technically conference game of the season. So how important does this one feel with Farmington on Friday night?
Yeah, this is a big one for us coming back home. Been on two long road trips here the last couple weeks to St. Bede and then down to Cuba last night. So looking forward to being back on George Pratt. And I told the kids last night after the game, you know, we redeemed ourselves in the last two road games, but it's time to redeem ourselves at home as well. Farmington's going to bring it on both sides of the ball and special teams, so we have to be ready to play, practice with intensity, flying around, have energy this week, and again, prepare like it's another playoff game, because at the end of the day, this is Farmington's a playoff team, so we have to bring the juice this week and get ready to roll.
I'm curious, what do you do right after a game? Like, are you interested in finding out scores or stuff like that?
Yeah.
What do you do? What are you looking for? Yeah, basically, the stuff on the next week's opponent, or just general like, who, you know, how did this team fare against this team? Or, I mean, tell me what you look for.
Yeah, a lot of the bus rides home and at post-game stuff, it just starts with, like, scoreboard watching on the IHSA app, stuff like that, trying to see who won, who lost, who we've played, how they've done. I was really anxious to see the United score last week or this past Friday and see how they did against Rova, so that was one of the first scores I checked. Then obviously checking in on the Farmington-Tuscola game. So a lot of scoreboard watching on the drive home and then gathering of film as well. And then kick this morning off with watching a lot of the Farmington film against Illini West and then against Tuscola last night. So, yeah, a lot of the post-game stuff is scoreboard watching and trying to gather information.
I don't know if it's just because I'm getting old, but I this year I don't think I figured anything out here through the first 3 weeks with the kind of the scores I've seen. You know, are you getting a read on anything yet?
Yeah, it's been a little strange, just some of the scores that we've seen the past couple weeks. It seems like there's, I wouldn't say inconsistency, but it's hard to get a finger on the pulse of who's really, really good and who's kind of middle of the pack and who's not so good. There's some obvious teams at the top and at the bottom, and then there's a lot of teams right in the middle there where their scores kind of fluctuate week to week. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the season plays out and what we get to look at moving forward.
So what sticks out to you about Farmington so far? I know kind of in the early stages, but preparing for them, what are some things that they do well that you're kind of worried about?
The biggest thing for them is their offense was very, very explosive against Tuscola last night. I think we've seen this morning there was multiple touchdowns of over 50 yards. They were able to flip the field with their special teams units, get some short fields to work with. So just got to eliminate the explosive plays from their offense. And then if you can get a couple good plays over the top on that defensive look, they give a lot of teams that man-to-man on everybody, bring the house. They'll eventually back off into kind of a shell of a quarters look, cover three, cover two, stuff like that. So we have to be aggressive with our play calling in the beginning of the game, try to get them toned back from bringing the house every single time, and then have to shut them down defensively as well, shut down their explosive offense. So.
And I know obviously, you know, week one was a disappointing result, but bouncing back with wins in week two and week three to get to 2-1, a third of the way through the season already, how do you feel, you know, where you're at through 3 weeks now looking ahead to week four?
Yeah, we feel obviously that week one was tough. We feel like we have a resilient group able to bounce back after that loss and rip off two straight wins, two pretty good wins, play well on in every aspect of the game. But we have to leave those three games in the past, and we have a tough three-game schedule here coming up with Farmington, Knoxville, and then I believe Elmwood Brimfield. So, our schedule doesn't get any easier. We've played great for the past two games, but we still have to focus on what's in front of us.
So a third, he mentioned a third of the way through the season so far. Are you're pretty healthy now, injury-wise? Or
yeah, we have a couple guys dinged up, a couple concussions, and then Will Fredrickson, who's arguably one of our top receivers, he broke his hand against St. Bede. So he's in a cast right now, gets reevaluated on Tuesday. I'm hoping that he goes into a splint so we can use him on the offensive side of the ball. Last night he only played defense for us with him being clubbed up and not able to catch the ball really well. So we'll see how that plays out this week. If we have to go without him on offense, it's the next guy up mentality with Dakota Coppola replacing him at our Z receiver. But for the most part, yeah, we're pretty healthy. Offensive line is really coming together. They played well the last couple of weeks and voided. We got Peyton Coppola back at center, so that's really helped the last 2 weeks. And yeah, for the most part, really healthy.
And then games like last night, you get to see maybe a lot of kids get some varsity reps that they don't maybe get a chance to get on the field. You got to do that, I'm assuming, last night with some kids.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got – I'm pretty sure we got everybody that was eligible to play into the game last night. And that's always exciting for those kids. And I told the kids at halftime, because by half our first string was done playing, and I told our first string, it's like, look, you got to support these guys. Pay attention on the sideline. Cheer them on. These are the dudes that give you guys really consistent scout team looks during the week. They bust their tails just like you do in practice, so we need to show support for these twos and threes going into the game. And hats off to the second and third string kids that went in last night. We were trying to pitch a shutout. There was a couple times where LVC was driving the length of the field on those second and third groups, and you could tell it meant something to those groups that we kept them out of the end zone. So they showed a little fight, a little grit. So I was happy to see that, and a lot of effort out of those kids as well. So it was good to get them on the field.
And then I always think about front, and this is maybe like advanced master's coaching course here, but I always think about the ebb and flow of a season, and then the contrast of preparation weeks where you play an opponent that's struggling, has some challenges with numbers, and they've got routed numerous games. You play them, and then the next week you play a much better opponent. So, you know, in terms of preparation and kind of getting ready, and you wonder, is this game we're playing this week, how much is it going to help us or hurt us going into next week? Just because of the contrast of strength of the opponent you're playing. So what about that from this week to next week, where you know you're going to play a much different and much, you know, no disrespect to LVC, but a much better opponent you're going to play Friday?
Yeah, and I think that's just the nature of the beast, Jim. That will happen in the course of a season. You'll have some teams like that maybe aren't as good, and then you'll face a squad that's probably the top two or three team in the conference. At the end of the day, that's just how it goes. And like I said, we prepared last week like it was a playoff game. We practiced with the same intensity we had going into the St. Bede game. So nothing will really change for us this week as far as practice intensity. I'm hoping to crank it up, you know, another notch, just the kids' mentality going into this week. Be crisp, be sharp in practice, and then go out and let it rip on Friday night against Farmington.
Do you like the current mercy rule, that continuous clock in the second half, or do you wish it wasn't, or do you wish there's a drop dead kind of rule? I know I've heard talk of that before. If you're up by so much that, hey, the game's just over, what is the purpose being served here?
Yeah, I'm okay with that rule. I mean, it gets where if you're up by 40 in a football game, it's kind of the point where the game's almost over anyways. The game's probably
the second half especially.
Yeah, so the running clock, yeah, I have really no opinion on that. I think it's probably something that moves the game along, probably prevents, you know, chippiness, injuries, stuff like that, gets the kids off the field, off their feet, in a game that's out of hand at that point anyway. So,
if you haven't been to a game for a while, Friday night will be a good one with Farmington in town. They're off to a 3-0 start. They'll probably get some, I would think, some votes in the poll maybe.
They did last week.
Did they? Yeah. So always a quality opponent. And you know Ty Taylor, his biggest receiving game, you know what opponent that came against?
Was it Farmington?
It was Farmington. Take that, fighting Farmers. And I don't know if Toby Vallis was the coach
back then or not. He was
a
good sense still.
Good coach, man.
My boy, Ty.
Yeah. All right, that'll be bulletin board material for them probably heading down here. All right, Coach, have a good week of practice. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, Eagles win it 47-0 on the road last night at LVC, the Miners. More coming up on WRMJ.
Looking for a new pair of kicks? Maybe it's time to ditch that worn-out tongue and flattened sole and check out the latest styles and colors of Hey Dude shoes at 6140 Run. Known as high-performance footwear, they prioritize both quality and fashion with designs for men, women, and youth. Stop in at 6140 Run to check out the expansive selection of Hey Dude shoes in stock now. They remind you not to be fooled by online sites selling Hey Dudes. Make sure your pair are authentic at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
Building relationships, supporting the community and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Waugh.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
In Orion, see me, Julie Hessler.
All right, Jim Taylor back on WRMJ, WRMJ.com. 61-14 is the final. Friday night, Rockets take care of business, win at home over Riverdale. Scored on all seven offensive possessions in the first half, and then basically the reserves played in the second half, and they scored on their two offensive possessions. So you basically did everything pretty much right on the offensive side of the ball tonight.
Yeah, that was our speech to guys. No offense, I don't want this to sound wrong, but our message was come out and beat someone you're supposed to beat and don't let them have a chance. Don't feel like they have a breath in the game. And I think we did that pretty good job. You know, I think we had a pretty decent run defense plan, and it did decent. Again, this is great game experience for some young guys in the secondary that maybe gave up a couple things, but overall, you know, it was a good team effort. Like you said, offense being able to roll down the field was a big plus for us.
All right, and the other thing when I look at games like this tonight, when you try to measure, well, what can we really take away from this thing other than a win? And I think one of the important things in these type of situations is, well, the special teams opportunities where it's a live game, and I think you get in the first half seven PAT chances, which those are important if you think about playing in weeks 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. And then also I think kickoff coverage is important in live games where you get that group out there to say, hey, let's make sure we're shoring up that part of the game, because normally it's those type of plays when you play in the postseason that proved to be the difference.
Yeah, you're exactly right. We had a big talk with the guys, and kickoff and PAT, like you said, those are huge. And we've been lucky enough to have a kid like Austin Vandegeest around that's been, I mean, he's basically 100%. And I don't want to jinx him or anything, but he is. But kickoff is a big thing. We talked to the guys earlier this year that special teams are something you have to take serious, that it on every one of the three scores, we lost to Moreau Forsyth in the quarterfinals 21-7, and all three of their touchdowns were off of big special teams plays. We had a shanked punt, and in the first game, and they got the ball at the 20-something and scored. They had a big return coming out of half, like a 50-yard return that got them a score, and then they had a fake punt that got them their third score. And we told them that those against good teams, you lose games if you don't capitalize on special teams. If you make errands in special teams, it bites you. So like you said, this is a great night for that. Kickoff's a big deal. When you have a kicker that can get it that deep, not quite in the end zone, but that deep that teams can set up returns, you got it. Yes, you can get good field position out of that, if we can stop them and then stop them defensively. But at the same time, you got to cover it, because that's also, if you're a good return team, getting a kick at the 5 or 10 yard line also lets you set up a great kick return. So it is a big deal for us to be able to get kickoff down. Like you said, those are great reps those guys are seeing.
And then as far as the rhythm is concerned with the PATs, it's Freyer to Mueller to Vandegeest, right? I mean, are you noticing that they're real, that rhythm is pretty good?
Yeah, it is. Freyer does a nice job. He's pretty consistent. There was actually Reed's playing with a cast right now, and we were literally in practice. We're trying to find somebody. We're like, surely the kid with the cast can't be our holder, but he is so consistent. Even tonight there was a wide snap, and he snagged that with his one offhand and put it down, and we got the PAT off, and it was good. So Reed's a good, consistent kid with his hands, and he's a great holder. And like we already talked about, Austin, it's something we kind of probably take for advantage because he's been around for 4 years, and that's when he graduates. That's going to be a big deal for us losing him.
All right. And then defensively tonight, you talked about it in the pregame where they just basically line up and play power and scrum and through the tackles. Now you stop it, but I always tell people that type of offense, you know, with those many bodies in the pile, you always wonder, well, hopefully we escape with nobody getting hurt. And sometimes it's tough to do that. So you got out of here tonight, too, with that, because that's an issue when it's just 22 basically people in the middle of a pile.
Yeah, you're right. And those are the games, I mean, you're saying everything right, you cringe over, because there's 10 people in a pile that are falling over. So who's getting an ankle rolled up on or something? And thank goodness we were able to, as far as I know, we were able to come out of this week good. And that's all we ask for, is a performance that we come out quick, firing on all cylinders, not give them a chance, have good special teams like you alluded to, and get out healthy. That's a big one.
All right. So trying to size up where we're at, not only with Rock Ridge, but kind of the rest of the area. So Sherrard scored the last 10 points tonight, one on the road. So that's who you play next week. And they played 3 close games. And then Orion led a little bit, but then Morrison had a track meet in the second half and won. So you're trying to figure out some of the positioning in the league now through 3 weeks. But I think really an intriguing matchup next Friday night. And you use the term a lot, spooky, I hear you say. And last year was a spooky game between Rock Ridge and Sherrard over there, because you were behind the eight ball early. And you had a starting quarterback go down and had to rally. So this is an intriguing matchup, I think, next Friday, isn't it, over there?
Yeah, it is. They present some challenges. They have some good players. Anderson's coming back at quarterback, and I know the Brown kid is somebody that kind of went wild on us in the first half last year. And I think, if I remember, we were down 21-0, and we had to score. We got lucky, and Connor went in at quarterback when Jacob Bain got hurt and led us down the field. We at least got one before halftime. I think it was 21-7 at half, so that was some good momentum going into half. But you're right, they jumped on us quick, and that is a team that can do that with that offense. And they know what they're doing. They're going to have a good game plan. We are going to have to play a good football game to beat them. This is, like you said, this is a big stretch coming up for us with Sherrard, Orion, and Monmouth. I mean, it's bang, 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 where we're going to have to play good football to come out of here with wins.
And I think next week, where you look at, is such a big swing, where if you win, you're 3-1, and they lose, they're 1-3. But then if they win, it's, you know, 2-2, it's 2-2 and 2-2 with the conference race hanging in the balance.
Yeah, next week's a big one. It is. I mean, I'm not going to pretend it's – I mean, I know the coach speak is we take it week by week. Everybody's the same. But I think we need to understand this is a big week coming up, and I hope our guys do that with preparation as well. I hope we all take it serious.
Nice going tonight, Coach. Good luck next Friday.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
More coming up on WMJ.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge, so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Foot comfort is important at work. Have you noticed your feet slipping from poor traction? Do your feet slide inside your boots or shoes? If so, it's time for a new pair of Red Wing and Wolverine work boots from 6140 Run. Red Wing boots are abrasion resistant, waterproof, insulated, and come in both safety and soft toe. Wolverine is built for durability. Tackle a tough job or outdoor activity with Red Wing and Wolverine work boots. They come in casual styles too. For hard working quality and comfort, see 6140 Run at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
At Country Financial, we're more than just an office you may pass by as you drive through town. We are part of a community that helps support the programs that make our neighborhoods thrive. We take the time to get to know our customers. We know that every situation is unique, and our goal is to understand yours so we can help you be confident about your financial security and your future. To talk about how we can help ensure that the future you're dreaming of is something you can proudly own no matter what it looks like, see your local Country Financial representative.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
John Waugh.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
In Orion, see me, Julie Hessler.
Welcome back to Sportsline on this Saturday on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Ty Taylor joined now by the head coach of the Orion Chargers, Chip Filler. Chargers fall for the first time in 2023 last night, losing to Morrison 40-14. Coach Filler, as we start, just give us your initial takeaways from last night's performance and loss to Morrison on the road.
Well, I mean, they're a very good football team, and you know, that's what it was. We got beat by a very good team. Now, we did a lot of careless mistakes, and give them a lot of credit, though. They made us do those mistakes. So, I mean, we've got a lot to improve on. We know that going forward. I don't think anybody you talked to this morning will say that they're a finished product on week three. So, we'll be better moving forward. Our kids are gonna learn from this. They were in decent spirits. Yeah, they're a little disappointed that they lost, but they understand where the grand prize is, the real vision of where the season needs to go. So this one little setback is not going to be a setback. We're going to learn from it, and we're going to be better for it moving forward. So very good Morrison team, though. Very, very good. So they're worth the price of admission to go watch them, definitely.
Well, 40-14 was the final score, and we talked about this a little last night. I don't think the game wasn't as lopsided as the score makes it sound. You let it 7-6 early in the second quarter, and what kind of was the difference was there was basically three turnovers in a row that Morrison scored off of and allowed them to basically, you know, get to a 34-0 run that they went on. So when you look back at the second quarter last night, what do you think kind of led to some of those lapses or mistakes that let Morrison go on that run?
Well, you know, you get the fumble, and then they get the short field and they go ahead and score. You definitely cannot give them a short field. You know, you definitely cannot do that. They're too good. I mean, the block punt, I think the next play they turned around and scored on a sweet play to Anderson, and then the botched kickoff, just assuming. I mean, like, we had a sophomore, and they actually, the return was coming to our sideline, and you couldn't have kicked that ball any better than what they did. And, you know, just some unfortunate mistakes, you know, but things that we really need to fix. I mean, we're not good enough to turn the ball over. We're not good enough to have penalties. I don't know any football team that really is. So, you know, that 5-minute stretch or whatever it was really just killed us, and we couldn't get ourselves back. And I remember when they scored, Anderson scored a touchdown, and it made it 20-7. There was like 2 minutes left to go in the half, and Cale asked me, so we go in 2 minutes, and I said, no, we're going to get out of this thing. You know, we're going to go fight the second half. It's going to be a long halftime, so we're going to be okay. And then the kickoff happened. So, yeah, 5 bad minutes turned into 21 points, and if you take those away, and I know you can't, you know, you're looking at 19-14, and we have a chance there in the fourth quarter. But, you know, it wasn't to be, and we're going to learn from it and get better.
Looking on the defensive side of things for you last night, you talked about Morrison being worth the price of admission. The team speed they have, really impressive when you see him in person. They rush for 284 yards and threw for another 121. I think this Morrison team, more so than maybe assume going in, is they can throw the ball too, right? They're not just a team that runs the ball. So what kind of challenges did they provide, you know, for you defensively last night with what they were doing on the offensive side of things?
Well, you know, they really can throw it. You know, the Bielema kid isn't too bad. And I think what helps him, honestly, is the skill players around him. You know, the McQueen kid, number three, was, you know, he took essentially an 8-yard pass and went 65 yards so that, and catch and run. And it was a great play by Maddox Anderson, who's our starting, I guess, defensive tackle. He's basically would be a nose guard. And he ran McQueen down, which is an impressive feat in itself. But just the hustle right there by him. I mean, that's stuff that we can build on. But yeah, they're very, I mean, that I wouldn't say dynamic is the word for them, but they can do a lot more things than what most Morrison teams do. So, I mean, they are definitely scary on that side of the ball, I would say.
Now, a third of the way through the season already, through 3 weeks, 2-1 with wins, weeks 1 and 2, a loss last night. Through 3 weeks of the season, how do you feel where you're at through a third of the way through the year?
This is exactly where, I mean, I wouldn't say exactly where I thought we'd be. This is where I really kind of envisioned. You know, I know the Morrison game is going to be tough, you know, but getting those first two, being 2-1, knowing where the back half of our schedule, what it looks like. Now, from last night, some of the scores I saw, there's a lot of teams that are pretty good on the back half of our schedules. So that worries me a little bit, but I'm happy where we're at. I know we've got some good in the next 2 weeks. I know next week is going to be very challenging again, but I feel like we're still moving in the right direction, you know, and I feel like we're our best football still in front of us.
And looking ahead, Princeton coming up next week, Rock Ridge the week after. We talked about this three-week stretch where you go Morrison, Princeton, Rock Ridge. What are you hoping to get out of it at the end of week 5, you think?
Well, obviously, we want to just keep improving every week and getting better and again, putting one foot in front of the other and just being the best version of ourselves. What that means as far as wins and losses, I would love to tell you, hey, we're going to go out and win 2 games, you know. I don't know that. That's why we play them. So we're going to go out again and try to be the best version of ourselves. Understand that this is a tough 3-week stretch. Okay, if we can salvage or figure out to get one out of these, right, we're going to be in good shape moving forward. If not, we're going to improve on this, and then we're going to be ready for that stretch run. Because really, that's what we're looking at. I mean, we got to get to 6, right? And that means we got to find 4 more, and we have 6 chances to do it. So I feel comfortable. Not that I'm going to sleep well, but I mean, I think we have a chance to get there where we need to be.
Oregon head coach Chip Filler joining us. Chargers fall to Morrison last night, 40-14. In week 4, Oregon welcomes the Princeton Tigers to town. Coach Filler, thanks for talking with us. We'll talk to you later in the week.
Oh, absolutely, Ty. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yep, and I'm Ty Taylor on Sportsline on WRMJ.
When it comes to document imaging technology, it's best to deal with a local company. A local company like Office Specialist. Office Specialist has sharp copier printers, color systems, and network printers, all supported by a local do-whatever-it-takes attitude to satisfy you, the customer. Office Specialist puts you, the customer, in charge so you can make the document imaging decision that's best for your business. Sharp copier printers from Office Specialist. Visit osi.biz.
Hello again, everyone. I'm Brian Roush at WCCI in Savannah. He's Jim Taylor at WRMJ in Aledo. And we're Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. And it's the fall sports season, and we have so much to think about. But, Jim, you have a big breaking story from softball on the high school level. Tell us about that, if you would.
Well, Rock Ridge, of course, they've garnered plenty of attention the last 9 years under John Nelson, the head coach. Well, he, announced his resignation this week, and he is now the new head softball coach at Augustana College. So 9 years at Rock Ridge, 279-49 his record. And, of course, they've won three straight state titles in softball, four overall in his tenure. They've been to state six times, so six trophies for him in those 9 years. And, of course, they had that record 73-game winning streak broken during the 2023 season. So this is going to be a big story here as we transition along this school year. Who's going to be the person that replaces John Nelson? What a legacy, though. 279-49 in nine seasons. And really, when you talk about high school sports now, this has to be one of the premier job openings in the state, doesn't it?
Oh, I sure would think so. And that was going to be kind of a two-pronged question is, do you see any favorites right now? And then secondly, I'm guessing that the program is in probably pretty good shape. It's not like the cupboard's bare and there's not a lot of talented kids coming through. I'm guessing things are in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I've heard they have a very talented incoming freshman class that's coming in. And then, of course, they have Kendra Lewis, their ace pitcher, who's back for her senior year. So she's won three state titles in a row, softball-wise pitching. And she's back, so that's immediately a great nucleus to begin with. So I think internally, you know, there's probably some potential candidates, but I think with a job like that, there's probably going to be a lot of people that are going to express interest. And we know how big, you know, kind of the travel circuit is in softball that almost runs parallel with the IHSA season. So it'll be interesting to see as, you know, the fall transitions into winter, kind of who the leading candidates are and when Rock Ridge will make a decision, because even though, you know, there's talent coming back, you know, just replacing that type of reputation and that type of record in dealing with those type of expectations, holy smokes, that you put yourself in a tough position, that's for sure.
And Jim, what kind of program is he stepping into at Augustana College? Because I'm totally unfamiliar with their softball history.
Yeah, and to be quite honest, I'm not that familiar either, but I know John Nelson coaches in the Heartland Havoc, has been coaching in the Heartland Havoc ASA travel circuit for many years. So I think, you know, it's a perfect fit for him at Augustana if you just talk about this kind of region in the state and the talent level he's coached with travel softball. I would think, you know, that's a pretty good highway recruiting-wise to get some of those kids to play softball at Augustana College. I would think that, you know, his success at the high school level and the club level, I think probably Augustana was really interested in that, especially if they want to see some of that homegrown talent stay here in the kind of Quad Cities region.
Yeah, I think that's a good fit to have a local guy that's had great success. I think it's fantastic. And one other thing that I didn't really mention before we started recording here, but, you know, it's Friday night football action, great for the area. But this past Friday you had Illinois at Kansas, and a couple of Fridays you have Wisconsin at Purdue. Boy, oh boy, college just can't stay away from those Friday night lights.
I don't like it. And I don't. I think that the coaches, they have to walk a delicate balance too. They can say publicly maybe they don't like it, but then privately they're probably saying, "Well, you understand how the TV contracts work with, you know, the Big Ten Network and the other powers that be, because the in the end, those are the entities that are." Calling the shots. Yeah, I'm disappointed. I don't like the overlap. I think, you know, stay away from Friday night football. But as they say, the genie is out of the bottle with that, and we're going to see that as an issue, I think, every season. But I always default to high school football on Friday nights. Always have and always will. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. I'm Jim Taylor at WMJ Radio in Aledo. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
Looking for a new pair of kicks? Maybe it's time to ditch that worn-out tongue and flattened sole and check out the latest styles and colors of Hey Dude shoes at 6140 Run. Known as high-performance footwear, they prioritize both quality and fashion with designs for men, women, and youth. Stop in at 6140 Run to check out the expansive selection of Hey Dude shoes in stock now. They remind you not to be fooled by online sites selling Hey Dudes. Make sure your pair are authentic at 6140 Run in Galesburg.
All right, winding down Sportsline on a Saturday morning, getting set for week four. The games, the big one on the airwaves, will be on WMJ.com. We traveled across the county, right? The Rock Ridge Rockets will play the Sherrard Tigers over at Clifford King Field next Friday. That'll be a 6:15 broadcast, 7 o'clock kick on WMJ.com. Orion gets Princeton next Friday, and then, of course, Mercer County with a big test on their schedule hosting Farmington. So, some good games, to say the least, next Friday.
Absolutely. A lot of good teams on the air for us. I cannot wait for Sherrard and Rock Ridge next Friday. Going to be a great crowd, great atmosphere. Two teams that I think are pretty good, and I think, you know, Sherrard looking to take a step forward, and I think for them, beating Rock Ridge would be a huge step forward for them. And Rock Ridge, too, trying to get off to a 2-0 start in the conference is the favorites coming into the year, but with Morrison kind of on their tail. A really interesting game, like I said, Rock Ridge and Sherrard. That is really exciting. Me, Eric Hutchins, and Glenn Cook. That's the three best friends right there. I cannot wait for that.
And that's homecoming week for Sherrard, so that'll add to the crowd over there next Friday. Hopefully the weather cooperates. Looks like it will. And then, again, Mercer County at home against Farmington. If you haven't been to a game for a while at Pratt, that'll be a good one Friday night with the Farmers off to a 3-0 start. And, again, Orion gets a crack at the Princeton Tigers. And then I think the next week it's Orion and Rock Ridge. So we have some of those rivalry games coming up over the next 2 weeks. And then think about next year. We'll have basically rivalry games every week almost next year with Mercer County heading to the track. Have they when they releasing the football schedule? Do you know?
I don't know when they're releasing it. I can try and figure something out, but soon I'd imagine because they have they know the teams that are going to be in it with Bureau Valley gone and Mercer County in and Morrison gone too, of course, next year. So it'll be a 12 school league for football. I'd imagine they'll split them up six and six division wise and we'll see. But it'll be really exciting. Obviously the four schools we cover, you add in Monmouth Roseville to the mix too. That's, five schools that, when they play each other, it'll be feel important. So exciting stuff next week, or I should say next year, next week too. Just like you said, good teams on the air next week for us. Should be three good games, hopefully.
All right, for Ty Taylor, Jim Taylor saying that'll do it for Sportsline on a Saturday morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ. Today's program has been brought to you by 6140 Run in Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude Shoes and Birkenstock Sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine Work Boots, Office Specialists in Galesburg, Advanced Business Systems in Moline, your headquarters for office supplies, computer sales and service, phone systems, Sharp copiers, promotional materials, and more. And by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business. The proceeding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice in Western Illinois.